Coming up on the 22nd of October at Sayosaw Middle School Commons, there is going to be a Women and Child's 2025 Health Fair. A couple of the doctors that are going to be featuring that. We have one of them with us today. It's Dr. Will McKenna. Dr. McKenna, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity to talk about our upcoming community event.
Absolutely. Give people a little background about you. I know we've had you on before, but go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so I'm an obstetrician and gynecologist, so I take care of women's health here in Florence. I've been coming here for about 3 years. My wife and I moved down here from Alaska and are currently live in Eugene, but we're slowly transitioning, I think, to Florence permanently, and this is the only place that I practice and have just loved it here, loved the community, and love taking care of this community.
That's pretty awesome. We appreciate you being here for sure, especially in a field that would not normally be in a community this size.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, this community really has some amazing resources at the hospital and outside the hospital that make it stand out, especially today. You know, there's a scary trend happening in healthcare in America, and especially in women's health. And Florence is quite special in that we have these services and have some really great resources in the community.
Now, this is not the first Women and Children's Health Fair that's been done. I know there's been a couple others, correct?
Right. Yes. I think it was, I can't remember if it was last year. I think it was maybe 2 years ago. We did one
at the Florence Event Center. Yeah.
Yep. I saw you then, and we had a great crew there, and got to engage with the community. Had some great vendors there, and we thought, you know, it's been a couple of years. We probably should do that again. Reach out to the community, and maybe make this one a little bit different from the last.
And how is that going to be different? How is this one going to be a little different, other than the location?
Yeah, you know, so the location is part of that. We wanted to, you know, we had a great opportunity at the last one to engage with many of the members of the community. And our goal this time is to try to engage with some of the younger folks as well. And part of that would be talking about, you know, prenatal care, birth control options, you know, topics that might be more relevant to that younger crowd. But we're also going to be there to talk about menopause as well. And so, you know, we're encouraging everybody to come by to whatever stage of healthcare they need from a women's health perspective. We're going to be there, but we wanted to kind of put ourselves out there and be a little bit more proactive about reaching out to the younger crowd too.
What are some of the things or the most common things that women want to know about their health, or maybe that they get bad information about that needs to be kind of updated or corrected?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge thing now, especially with you know, ChatGPT and AI. I mean, if you Google something, you get a very well-written response that sounds legitimate, and I've experienced that myself from a medical perspective. There is the misinformation is rampant. I think a lot of women just want to know, you know, is this something I need to worry about? Is this true? Is this information that I'm getting correct? Which we love to see. You know, I think it's always best to validate what you're reading online with your medical professional, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. And you know, there are certain hot topics in women's health for the various stages. You know, for the menopause group, it's talking about hormone replacement therapy, and for the younger group, it's, you know, maybe talking about birth control or HPV testing, vaccinations. So some of the unique topics will vary depending on where somebody finds themselves in their journey. But I think across the board, we're seeing a lot of patients who are reading something online and not knowing if that is true and correct, and they want to come in for a little bit more information.
Well, you mentioned vaccines, so I'm gonna take a shot at this now. There's some really crazy stuff coming down the line, especially with, you know, all the firings at the CDC and RFK heading the, you know, the medical aspect of that. What I think we all know that science matters, and I think we can get confused by what other people are trying to say. What do people need to know about some of that stuff that's going on, especially about vaccines, because it's the age, especially in school kids?
Absolutely. Yep. You know, from my perspective as a healthcare provider, somebody who studied this extensively in medical school, we know that vaccines are safe, especially the childhood vaccinations that we give. And I think, you know, I always try to be sensitive about that conversation with patients because it does tend to be a little bit divisive. My mantra is I'm going to support you no matter what, no matter what your beliefs are. And I try to just make sure, you know, that folks are getting their information from a reliable source, because there's a lot of unreliable sources out there, even in high level positions. You know, if you're going to take advice on vaccines, make sure you're talking to somebody who's studied it and knows about the science and knows about the literature on it and whether they're safe.
And you mentioned about exploring birth control and that. I guess that it's one of the concerns that, you know, teens have. I don't have a document in front of me that says, but it seems to be that they're more sexually active at a younger age these days. Is that something that you discuss, or is that a different topic?
No, I mean, absolutely. That is something that we always discuss. And there is a certain age cutoff where that may not be appropriate to talk about. But a lot of times, you know, and I've seen this here in Florence, we have a lot of folks who come in on their own. And I think it's important to express to that age group that there is, you know, it can be a difficult dynamic when you have parents involved. But in most states, that age group does not need parental consent to get that kind of care. And just putting ourselves out there as a resource for somebody to talk to, and then having that conversation, you know, and that can be a challenging conversation to have. Usually it's not a conversation that happens when parents are in the room, but sometimes if the patient is comfortable with that. But having that conversation and talking about options, talking about safe sex, sexual education, things of that nature.
Now, what about, like, for the example, I can't tell you what year it was, but it wasn't that long ago, in the last decade, when you started hearing about HPV and that sort of a rise. Has that been around and we just didn't know it as that name, or is it something that has been newly discovered over the past decade or so?
Well, the knowledge of HPV, since I've been doing this for about 10 years, since I finished medical school, and we knew about it in medical school. We're learning more about it every day. Over the past 10 years, we've seen the guidelines change to reflect the importance of HPV and how much we have learned about its importance. And if you look at, you know, countries that are doing it right, Australia, for example, one that stands out in a big way, they actually require HPV vaccination to go to school. And as a result, their cervical cancer rates have plummeted, and they probably will be the first country to eliminate cervical cancer. So HPV plays a huge role, and it's important not just for women, but for men as well, because it doesn't just cause cervical cancer. It can cause cancers of the mouth and throat. It's important for everybody to have that opportunity to see if vaccination is appropriate for them and to get vaccinated. And one thing that we're starting to see now in the United States is HPV only testing and self swabs for HPV testing to help encourage folks to get tested. The Pap test, being that it requires a pelvic exam in a clinic setting, is uncomfortable for a lot of folks, discourages a lot of folks from doing it. If they had a self-swab option just for HPV, it would be a lot easier for them to get access to care and to follow through with that testing.
So maybe this might be getting too medically in-depth here, but in the days of the Pap smear, was that sort of the same, looking for the same thing that the...
It was something different. Yeah. Okay. So the Pap test traditionally is a cytological examination. It looks at the cells actually that come off on the Pap test. The pathologist looks at it, tells us whether the cells are normal or abnormal, whether there's a precancer there or a cancer there. We added HPV testing to that as we have over the years learned, hey, you know, this kind of stuff is because of HPV. We should be doing that. And now we're starting to see that shift towards HPV only testing because of, you know, the ease of testing, and that we know how important and pivotal HPV is in the development of these cervical abnormalities.
Now, I know this is a healthcare and that, but you're talking about menopause here, and there's a lot of different aspects mm-hmm. in menopause. There's physical as well as emotional and psychological that are involved in that. And in fact, I think myself as a male and other men out there might think, you know, we could learn something about how to navigate through this as well. Talk a little bit about what topics regarding menopause will be broached.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to menopause, one of the biggest topics that we see is hormone replacement therapy. And that's a hot topic because it's traditionally HRT was taught as being something that's dangerous and that we're going to cause everybody to have heart attacks and strokes and everybody's going to get breast cancer. And some of that is based off of the Women's Health Initiative. You know, we've over the years learned that HRT is likely very safe, a lot safer than we initially thought. There are different versions of HRT that have slightly different risks. So it's important to tailor it to the individual person. Of course, we will always include somebody's background cardiovascular risk, breast cancer risk in that discussion. But that's going to be one of the main things to come talk to us about is HRT. Hey, is HRT appropriate for me? What options do we have? Because I think there's the underlying, I don't know what the word is, the underlying feeling there is that a lot of folks in the medical community are not willing to prescribe that. And that's very much true, but it is changing for the better. And that's something that, you know, Dr. Penicus and Dr. Scully and myself here do routinely is HRT. So that's a big part of it. There's obviously menopause includes multiple other things, but that is usually what we see as being the primary driver for folks coming in for something menopause related. It's for hormone replacement therapy.
And that can actually ease the symptoms or the effects of it?
Yes, the primarily hot flashes, night sweats, things like that. That's what we generally reserve HRT for. We don't use HRT for bone mineral density improvement. You know, some of the other things like the brain fog, fatigue, things like that. You know, if somebody's having hot flashes and night sweats, then absolutely we can use HRT to see if we get a benefit from that. But it's primarily reserved for those folks who are having what we call the vasomotor symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats, things like that.
So a lot of important information will be doled out on October 22nd, but what about some fun stuff? I mean, there's got to be a little bit of fun stuff as well, is there not?
Yeah, absolutely. We've already got quite a few vendors there. Again, you know, myself, Dr. Penicus, Dr. Scully are planning to be there. Western Lane Crisis Response is going to be there. We're going to have representatives from Charlie Health, Western Lane Fire and EMS doing you know, bicycle helmets, car seats, things like that. The Pregnancy and Parenting Center, they've been great in helping support us locally. They're going to be there. We're going to have our clinic nurse, Amy Dugal, and our lead MA, Winter Lent, from clinic. They're going to be there. We're going to have labor and delivery nurses from Peace Harbor Medical Center. We're going to have Jessica Giuliano, our amazing pelvic floor physical therapist here in Florence, which is one of those huge resources that we are so blessed to have here locally. She's going to be there. We'll be raffling off gift baskets. We've got swag bags that we're handing out, Dutch Bros gift cards for the first 50 participants. So it should be a good time, and we're really excited about it.
So several of you will be giving talks. Will there be a panel as well as there was at the Florence Event Center a couple of years ago?
I believe that's the plan, yeah, to have a panel with me and or myself, Dr. Penicus, and Dr. Scully, available to take questions and talk about whatever folks want to hear about.
All right. Sounds great. It's October 22nd from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Sayosal Middle School Commons. Dr. McKenna, thank you so much for giving us the information and look forward to a great event.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
All right. That'll do it. Thank